Go ahead and take out your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel this morning. Book of 1 Samuel. Going to be a little bit before we get there, but nonetheless, I want you to be ready when we do. 1 Samuel, you can turn to chapter 16. All right. If you take a look at the floor this morning, you'll notice that some stains that were there are not there anymore. And that is a blessing. The janitorial staff, people have been working hard to get the youth room looking very nice. And so if you see one of them, you might just thank them for that. You don't really notice it in here until you move all the chairs for a game. And then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, how long has that been there? You know. So let's all put forth effort this year to try to limit those stains. Things happen, obviously. This room gets used for a lot of different things, school-wise, Spanish church, and of course we're in it a lot. But anyway, if we all try to take care of it, it should stay nice for a little bit longer. So this morning, I'm not going to do much in the realm of review because there's a lot I want to say this morning, but we are going to transition now into another aspect of our study of music. And I mentioned this at the tail end of the last message when we were talking about music. I said that we're going to not so much deal with the words or the content of the words and what's being sung in different musical stylings, but we're going to turn to the music itself with the purpose of answering this question: is music amoral, or is it something that is neutral? Music itself, is it just neutral? And that's really the question that all of us need to ask, because once we ask that question, we are either at that moment going to be led on to some other decisions, or we're going to live our lives wide open, so to speak, in regards to music. So it's a very important question, and it's an argument that I've heard raised at different times, and we're going to seek to answer it this morning. So we're going to talk a little bit about the neutrality issue. And I don't want anybody to get lost in terms, but I would encourage everybody to try to perk up and listen a little bit. Okay, it's not often, this isn't a series that I'm going to do once a year. Okay, I'm trying to tackle it in bulk right now because I think that there are a lot of questions that we have. And, you know, there are sometimes we forget why we believe certain things or why we do certain things. And for a Christian, that can be a very dangerous thing. We need to know why what we believe and why we believe it, because, you know, we're not just people who have a head knowledge about our faith, but our faith should impact how we're living day to day. And so for that reason, I encourage you to try to stay engaged, okay? Whether you're that person who says right now, look, I think that music is amoral. I don't think it's moral. I don't think it's not moral. I just think that it's neutral, okay? And it doesn't really make a difference. Whether you've made up your mind or not, I encourage you to stay engaged. We're looking, as I said, at the neutrality issue, but the question we're going to answer is, what does the noise really mean? We're talking about a noise in the camp. And let me just go ahead. We've yet to really give a definition in regards to music itself. And so I want to give you this. Now, it's lengthy, so those of you who are trying to take notes, you're not going to get all of this, and I'm not going to read it six times so that you will. But anyway, I just want to give some groundwork, and we're going to kind of play off of the definition here. But this comes from Webster's New World Dictionary. It says here, the art and science of combining vocal or instrumental sounds or tones in varying melody, harmony, rhythm, and timbre so as to form structurally complete and emotionally expressive compositions. All right, who can repeat that? I didn't think so. Okay. A little bit lengthy there. But it's very precise. In fact, if you look at the definition itself, you can see that number one, music is a deliberate process. It's not the Big Bang theory, so to speak, that all of a sudden, poof, you have a composition. No, there's groundwork that has to be laid. There's a deliberate a deliberate thought process being added to something that's being put in together. It's a deliberate process. It's written for with purpose and form. There's a direction that someone is going when they pick up their pen to write musical notes or some type of musical composition. There's direction there. There's a purpose and there is form. And there's also communication going on. If you listen to the last aspect of that definition, so as to form structurally complete and emotionally expressive compositions, music communicates. And we're going to notice that in several ways, but music is always communicating something to us. It connects with us emotionally, on an emotional standpoint. You know, I was thinking about this. You know, a lot of the, you know, there are some really neat films that have been done that have amazing musical scores. How many of you have ever heard something before and just thought, wow, you know, the movie's no good, but the soundtrack to this is just so large and neat? How many of you have ever thought that before? Or maybe you did like the movie or something, okay? You took notice of the music involved. You know, they, and it's deliberate, okay? The music goes in a certain way according to what's happening, right? I mean, you know, and ladies, I'll connect with you just for a second. How many of you have ever seen, and just forget that I've ever seen this movie, okay? But Anne of Green Gables, how many of you have ever seen that movie? Okay, all right, a fair all of you, okay. You know, aside from, you know, making fun of those movies and all of that, I'm going to set that aside. But, you know, when you finally get to the, not the final film, because I think Anne goes to war or something like that, but the film before that, okay, where Gilbert is dying. How many of you remember seeing this scene? Gilbert is dying. Okay. Now, during that scene, what kind of music is setting the stage here? Do we have John Philip Sousa? Okay, is that going on? Ladies, help me out. Is that going on? No, it's not. What kind of music do you have there? It's sad music. It is. I mean, now, it would have been really funny had they put John Philip Sousa in there. I would have appreciated. How many of you guys would have appreciated that move? Okay. Totally changed the whole idea of the movie. But to my point, okay, music communicates something. That's why in certain scenes they put certain songs and certain styles of music at different times. Music is emotional, but it definitely communicates. Let's see here. I don't have time to go into all of this, but one thing that you notice when you start talking about this thing of music neutrality, okay, is music neutral? Let's say that you don't believe that music can affect you, okay? Music doesn't affect the way I feel one bit, okay? Or you don't attest to the fact that music affects emotional situations like we just talked about. Let's say you don't attest to that, and you hold to this fact that, hey, music, it's just neutral, okay? It's just you can use it and use it how you will because it does not matter one bit. It's amoral. It's not moral. It's not a moral thing. It just exists, and we should all be able to enjoy it and every aspect of it. Let's say that you take that position. Well, you are in company with some people who have taken that position. But understand this, as often, and this was really surprising to me once you start looking into it, but I have heard this argument from numerous people that have said, you know, look, music is just music, okay? But there's a very small group who put forth that argument. And the interesting thing to me is the fact that it is not the world. They understand that music affects. What group of people do you think it is that would put forth an argument like that? Ethan? Exactly. Listen, this concept became really popular in 1970, okay, when contemporary Christian music was just starting and just getting a kickoff. This argument was used to bring some of the worldly styles And obviously rock, as we've kind of talked about, it's coarse. It was used to bring those types of styles into the church. And so the Christians have taken that standpoint and said, hey, look, music is neutral. Therefore, hey, that's why we can have Christian rap. That's why we can have Christian rock. Or that's why we can, and on and on and on. But the problem is, from a historical standpoint, from a scriptural standpoint, and from a logical standpoint, that argument does not hold up. And that's what I want you to see. And of course, all of this points back to what we need to understand is that is music is always an expression of the culture, whatever that culture may believe. So we see here the argument, but how do we defend our position? Well, there is, as we mentioned before, there is biblical evidence to all of this that does speak to the neutrality of music or to this argument. I want you to just listen. You're in 1 Samuel, and we're going to get there, but listen to Isaiah 23 and verse 15. Notice what's being said here, okay? And again, we're not talking about the words, okay? I'm not dealing with words in this phase, okay? We're strictly talking about musical stylings. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 23. It says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years according to the days of one king." Here, this part is what I want you to notice. "After the end of 70 years shall Tyre sing as an harlot." Okay? Sing as an harlot. Okay, so here, the imagery that I want you to see is that there is a way that someone could sing that would be identified with what? A harlot. Okay? That's why you may hear a sound, maybe walking into a store or, you know, somewhere, and something may to you sound like, even maybe you're not even hearing the words, but something may sound a little sensual to you, or maybe a lot sensual to you. That's because there are musical stylings, and the Isaiah here, you know, he's obviously writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but anyway, to the point, there's a way that could be sung or sound that would be sensual, that idea of singing as a harlot. In some cases, instruments themselves, such as a harp, are associated with positive emotional expression in the Word of God. For instance, Deuteronomy 31:19, this song may be a witness. Okay? Another place in Deuteronomy, this song shall testify. Prophesied with a harp, 1 Chronicles 25:3. Jeremiah, mine heart shall sound like pipes. Okay, do you see what I'm talking about here? There's a way that music sounds to all of us, regardless of the words that are involved. And here, in the few examples that I've given in the Old Testament, you notice there is a style that is a positive thing. Okay, music can be used in a positive way or a negative way, but in which these examples are given, these are ways in which music is coming from a positive standpoint. So we see there's some cases in which instruments themselves are used that way. Also, vocally, singing in Scripture is often categorized as a divine activity, which implies something that is moral, okay, something that is right. You notice 2 Chronicles 7, verse 6, the Levites also with instruments of music sang unto the Lord with their voices. The Lord shall blow the trumpet. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. God my maker who giveth songs in the night, Job said in chapter 35, verse 10. And then in Job, he says again, when the morning stars sang together, okay, vocally, as far as vocal music goes, it can be used in a positive light, as we've seen here, in a moral or a right way in Scripture. You're in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Notice, I want you to look at verse 23 here. Okay? In fact, I want you to read it to me. Okay? We'll read it together. But let's start. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 23. Let's start reading. Here we go. "And it came to pass, was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now, I want you to think about this for just a second. Was this situation in Scripture, was this just a coincidence? Okay, you have Saul here. Okay, he is troubled, and he sends for what? Someone to play music. Now, was this just a coincidence that he and himself, being troubled, sent for some music? Or was this because they understood, even in Old Testament times, that music affects us? Here you have a perfect example of seeing how that played out. You have certain words that are mentioned here in this verse. One of them is refreshed. You could say that could be to his physical well-being. It goes on to say that he was refreshed and he was well. The evil spirit departed from him. This speaks of his mental and his spiritual well-being. Okay, so all of himself is being affected by the music that is being played. And, you know, David may have used words. It doesn't say that. It says that he played on his harp. Again, we have an illustration of music affecting a situation. You know, if you go on, actually, if you notice in 1 Samuel 16, a few verses prior to this, starting in verse 14, you can look at it. We won't read it together. I'll read it. But notice what it says. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Saul's servant said unto him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Again, just speaking to the fact that music does, in fact, affect us. You can see in other places in Scripture, as we move into the New Testament, you see where there is music is associated with our spiritual man, and that how there was an old song, and then there is a new song that the Lord puts in our hearts, and of course being the new, that which is good, and that which is of the Lord. But we see some scriptural evidence here. Listen to some quotes by some people down through history. You may know who these people are, you may not. But again, what did they understand about music? Not just 20 years ago, but, you know, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 1,000 years ago. Listen to what Aristotle said about music. He says this, If a person habitually listens to the wrong kind of music that rouses ignoble passions or dishonorable passions, we could say, his whole character will be shaped to an ignoble form or an honorable form. In short, if one listens to the wrong kind of music, he will become the wrong kind of person. But conversely, if he listens to the right kind of music, he will tend to become the right kind of person. Now, Aristotle, was he a Christian? No, not to our knowledge, but at the same time, he had an understanding, they had an understanding in the day that they were living, that there was a direct connection between music and human beings and what is being communicated. There's another Greek philosopher, Boethius, Greek philosopher and statesman. He wrote actually a book on music in 480 AD. And he says this, Music is a part of us and either ennobles or degrades our behavior. Someone else said this, There is probably no other cultural activity as music, which is so all-pervasive and which reaches into, shapes, and often controls so much of human behavior. John Calvin said this, We know by experience that music has a secret and almost incredible power to move hearts. Are you getting the idea? Let me read a few more here. Music is the most powerful stimulus known among the perceptive senses. The medical, psychiatric, and other evidences for the non-neutrality of music is so overwhelming that it frankly amazes me that anyone should seriously say otherwise. This was a doctor of psychology in New York. Someone else, Martin Luther, says this, For whether you wish to comfort the sad, to terrify the happy, to encourage the despairing, to humble the proud, to calm the passionate, or to appease those full of hate, and who could number all those masters of the human heart, namely the emotions, inclinations, affections, that impel men to evil or good? What more effective means than music could you ever find? There are numerous quotes that I have here. I think that you're getting the idea, though. Let me read a couple of secular composers here. Jimi Hendrix. How many of you have heard of him before? Jimi Hendrix. Heard of Jimi Hendrix? Ladies, any ladies heard of Jimi Hendrix? Okay, thank you. Jimi Hendrix said this. You're hesitant because you don't know what he said. That's what it is. He said this. He said, "You can hypnotize people with music, and when they get at their weakest point, you can preach into their subconscious minds what you want to say." Okay, now, we tend to, or at least what the world puts forward, and what I'm sure when his music career was just getting started, what he put forth and what others want us to believe is that, wow, you know, he is an inspirational writer, you know, of which is just brilliant. When he gets a guitar in his hand, the things that, you know, that thing can, you know, put forth are amazing, okay? But what he is saying here is, hey, you know, the music that I create is intentional, and it's communicating something to my listeners. But that's not how it's put forth to us. I imagine he said that much later on in his life, after he was pretty established as a musician. The bell's already rung, but I hope you're getting the idea. I want to go into a little bit more from a musical standpoint next week, and we're actually, I'm going to play some notes on the piano, and we're going to do a little exercise. It's going to be quite fun, all right? So you don't want to miss it, all right? Come back next week, and we're going to try to sum up this argument of the neutrality of music. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, Lord, as your children, we should be willing to submit every aspect of our lives to you. And Lord, for that reason, our prayer has been since we started, Lord, this lesson, is, Lord, not that we would just have some type of head knowledge of an argument or two in regards to music, Lord, but that we would be able to make some discerning choices in our everyday lives, Lord, in regards to the things that we choose to listen to or choose not to listen to. Lord, I'm thankful that we don't need to be afraid of music in general. Lord, it's something that you have created and that you've allowed us to use to worship you. Father, you love to hear us sing to you. You love to hear us play unto you. And Lord, for that reason, I pray that we would be interested in this topic, Lord, and that we would be drawn into it. And Father, would we submit to your Holy Spirit as he leads in our lives. We love you and ask that you continue to shed light on this issue even as we go forward. Speak to our hearts in the morning service, we pray, in your precious name. Amen.